I'm going to ask you to stand with me as I read a scripture and open us up in prayer. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we prepare for the message, Lord, I ask you that the message be led by the Holy Spirit and not just by scriptures that were memorized by the speaker. When we come together to worship, it glorifies you. It's a serious matter, and I understand that, Lord. But Lord, I ask this of you. This is my first time. And if it needs to be, may it be the last time. Only you know if this is meant to be. Lord, if it's not, I ask that you take that desire out of my heart. But if it's your will, may the Spirit lead me. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated. When I got here this morning, I asked Jeff if he trusted me. And so, Jeff, I'm going to ask you to grab my Bible over by Mary. Bring it to me, please. There's a reason. Church all week, I prepared a message for hours and hours, every day. I started on Sunday after service. And the reason that, the thing that inspired me to do it was actually Sunday after service. Sunday after service, when Kathy was walking JD out, or walking with him, I watched how JD struggled. I think he's 94 or 95 years old, but yet he was here. And I'm like, wow, he's willing to come even though it's difficult for him. Why can't I bring a message? And the other thing too was that Kathy, the whole ways, walking to the car, she was talking and encouraging her father. And that's when I thought about the message. Our words matter. The title of the message is Sticks and Stones May Break My Bones. We know that childhood rhyme or whatever it is, but words will never hurt me. They hurt. It's a lie. They hurt. When a word is spoken, it cannot be unspoken. In other words, if you say it, you can't take it back. And ever since I became a Christian around 12 years ago, I've learned to listen to people, and I see how hurt they have been from words, and that is something we have to be very careful of. But as I was putting the message together, I was working hours and hours and hours, and I had talked to Ron, and he told me, well, I asked him how much time he spends on putting a sermon together, and he said, well, I'm at a big advantage. I've done it for so long. He says, I can do it in 5 hours, but keep in mind, I've preached for over 30 years. So I kept trying, and then I've listened to so many sermons from so many different preachers that I've tried to learn to be like one of these guys, maybe more like this guy, maybe more like that guy. I really enjoy Ron's sermons, but that's not who I am. And so, in putting the message together, something kept going wrong. Jeff saw how many pages. It's pretty thick. I put a lot of stuff together. But yet, when I was putting it together, I would get to about 1,500 words, and all of a sudden, it would drop to 500. And I'm like, what's going on? And it just kept going wrong and wrong and wrong. And last night, Richie was gracious enough to come with me to church so I can practice. And I brought the wrong message. I had an original copy and then the final draft. I paperclipped the wrong one. And so I was like, I got to hear the sermon, and I was like, wow. And I told Richie, there was one thing I did like about it, was the flow. Outside of that, it wasn't good. So when I got home, Mary asked me, how'd it go? I just shook my head. I was like, it was not too good. It was not good at all. And Mary gave me words of wisdom. She says, honey, you've been spending so much time on that sermon, but I don't believe it's spirit-led. And I was like, what? She goes, yeah. If you're to preach a sermon, you have to be led by the Spirit. And I sat there and I ate those words for a bit. And I was like, she's right. She's right. And so in Genesis 2, when man was alone, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And I will create a helper, someone comparable to him. And so I realized when she gave me those words, I realized that I haven't been taking advantage of my greatest help, which is she's beside me. Maybe it's just me, but I have a hard time sometimes listening to her. And I was like, wow, why have I not approached her a long, long time ago? Because she knows the scriptures, and yet I haven't listened. But last night I heard. And so I got in prayer. I was like, Lord, I've put the message together, but it just never worked. It didn't work. It just, something keeps going wrong. Maybe that's you telling me, scratch it. Let me lead you. So I did that. But I still wasn't listening to the Spirit. Last night, about 1 o'clock, I was still flipping through pages and pages. Okay, what then, Lord? What then? What subject? And so, but at 1 o'clock, that's when I got on my knees. I said, Lord, okay, if I'm to be Spirit-led, then you will give me those words tomorrow morning. In Luke 12:12, the scripture reads, the Holy Spirit will give you those words in that very hour. So I've got to trust that I will be led. If it's meant for me to come up here and preach or teach or give the message, then I have to be Spirit-led. And I understand we're a small church, but we can't just let anybody come up here. It doesn't glorify the Lord. He has to be Spirit-led. And so I said, okay. So go with me. Open up your Bibles and let's go to Genesis 1. We're going to go back to the beginning. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Speaks volumes. In the beginning, God. Nothing existed but God. He was the creator of all things. He is the creator of all things. Verse 2. The earth was formless and void, and the darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was moving over the surface of the waters. Now we have the Holy Spirit. He was there. John 1. By the way, I miss hearing the pages flipping. So I said, I'm going back to the basics. John 1, 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jump down to 1:14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. That is Jesus. He was also in the beginning. In Genesis 2, God creates man. Why? Good question. I had somebody ask me one time, if God knows that we would fail Him as often as we do, why would He create us? He wanted a family. He wanted a family. And then God created a woman. Scriptures say that God put Adam to sleep, and He opened up his side and took a rib from the man, and He created woman. When I look back, I think, wow, how many times have I read these scriptures yet? Look for my wife to help me in my walk. There were times that we typically do pray before meals, but I'm not leading her spiritually. I have not been leading her spiritually. How can I do Bible studies outside the house when I'm not doing it in the house? Last week, Jason had mentioned to us that men are called to be the spiritual leaders of their homes, yet a lot of us aren't doing that. We have all that information in front of us. There's no excuse. We've all read, I know a lot of you have been in the faith for a long time, yet, we don't do as God tells us to, as He commands. Look what happens. Let's go to Genesis 3. God had actually given Adam just one command. One command. Think about that. One command. They fellowship with God. Oh, let me go back. In the garden, which is the foundation of life, is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, then Adam and Eve. No politics, no anything. Fellowship between a man, a woman, and God. That's it. There were no religions either. Just fellowship. There were no Christians, no Catholics. Oh, I'm sorry. There, no Muslims, no Sikhism, nothing. We were not created for religion. We were created for fellowship, especially with God. And so, Genesis 3. Starting with verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. And he said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall eat from any tree of the garden? Now we've let in somebody from the outside. That's not the foundation. And that's where it began to go wrong. We allowed the serpent into our home, so to speak. And then sin came. Adam and Eve sinned before God, and they had to pay a price. Because of that sin, they were separated from that fellowship. And we see that in that it has affected us because we cannot see God. Initially, we were in the presence of God, but now we are not. But we are called to a faith to believe that He does exist. When Adam and Eve sinned, God first went to Adam. Let me find it real quick. Look at verse 11. 3, verse 11. This is after they had sinned and they had hid themselves from the Lord. And He said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you not to eat?" The man said, "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me from the tree, and I ate." Wow. Not only does Adam point the finger, he blames God. "The woman that you gave me." Wow. Incredible. Incredible. But we're not different from Adam. We're not. We point fingers as well. Another thing that I wanted to point out is that God created man in His image. Not Christians, but man, all of man. We're all created in His image. Every one of us. And so, I hear a lot of foolish talk out in the public about Muslims, about non-Christians, about so many different things. Yet, we're all created in the image of God. All of us. We're not that different. Think about this. When a child is born, what does it know about the color of its skin? What does it know about politics? Nothing. Does it know foul language? No. Learn behaviors. It knows nothing about its sexuality. Learn behaviors. But yet the world is going to teach our kids that God does not exist. That anything is fair game. Man, we as spiritual leaders, we have to lead our homes. We have to lead our homes. And the words that we use, absolutely important. Absolutely important. You know, I've heard guys many times say, "I'm not perfect." Matter of fact, this past week, I was talking to a guy. I got to actually practice a sermon. And we were talking, and he was mentioning a lot of the mistakes he's made. And he said, "I'm not perfect." And so I asked him this. "So are you admitting that you're not perfect and want to change? Or are you using it as an excuse to sin? Because mistreating people is a sin. But church, what chance do we have? If Adam and Eve sinned, one command, there were no other men, other women, no kind of competitions, nothing. One command, what chance do we have? Can we truly walk as we are called to walk? Turn with me to Micah 6, verse 8. Micah 6, verse 8. See if I can, there we go. He has told you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. Three things. In some of your translations, it says to love mercy. Justice, mercy, humbly. And so, again, as I was preparing the message on last Sunday, I went about it all wrong. For one, why do I need to see somebody else to be inspired? God is with me. I don't need to see or be inspired. And I understand that we go through times where we're troubled and we need other people to help us. But if I'm going to bring a message, I better be in prayer and be prepared. This is a very serious matter to come up here and bring a message. But the other thing too was this. When I decided to do this, I started thinking, I've done a lot of Bible studies. I know the word a little bit here and there. I can do this. But I was thinking of me in that sense, in that moment. No matter how many Bible verses I know, no matter what I've done, if I'm not led by the Spirit, I shouldn't be up here. Period. So it's a big deal for me. Very big deal. Turn with me, if you would, now to the, let's go to the New Testament. We're going to go to James 3. Starting with verse 1, actually. James 3, verse 1. Let me get there. James 3:1 is the one that spoke to me. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such you will incur a stricter judgment. Oh, goodness. 2-12. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beasts and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. And here's the key verse. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a relentless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening both fresh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives, or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh. James tells us in verse 8 that man cannot control his tongue. With the tongue, we bless and curse. I had lunch with a minister about 2 weeks ago. And he told me this. He said, I really struggle with people that curse, use foul language. I just don't want to be near them. It just bothers me when they start cursing. So I asked him this. Was he not created in the image of God? And he looked at me. He said, yeah, but I said, no. That man was created in the image of God. For whatever reason that he curses, we don't know. People, like I said, babies were not born cursing. They don't know foul language. Something probably happened. We are called to love that person. And I gave him even more scriptures. And he said, thank you. I needed that. I said, when I said them to you, I listened to them myself. I understand. And then about a month ago, I went to lunch with a friend. And we had been going to the same church years back. So during lunch, we had a good conversation. It was all about God, really good. But then we went back to work, and we were riding together. And we saw a man on the corner with a sign that said, anything will help. And he began to get really upset, telling me how he can't stand people that are out there begging. And at first I let it go, but he kept going, and he kept talking and talking and talking. And for a second, I almost joined him. I'll admit it, I almost gave in and agreed with him. But then I realized this is a teaching moment. So I asked him, do we know what's going on with that person? With COVID, the guy could have lost his job. We don't know the circumstances. He is created in the image of God. But I told him this too. I said, if you're being stirred up because of that person out there on that corner, could that be the Holy Spirit telling you to go and talk to him? Go pray with him? And he listened. But said nothing. This was on a Monday. He didn't talk to me for 3-4 days. But on Friday, he came back to work, came into my office, big old smile. Good morning, Manny. We have to help each other. We're called to love all people, not just Christians. All people. Everyone's created in the image of God. Everyone. You and I are called to teach them about Jesus. Let me close with prayer. Our Father in heaven, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks for your word. It is truth. Your word also assures us of salvation. And we especially give thanks for your Son, who came down from heaven and he took our sin. Thank you, Lord, that you would do that for us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As we prepare for the invitation song, let me share this with you. When we were separated from God, which we had to be, in the Psalms 5 verse 4, it says that God cannot be in the presence of evil. So God had to remove Adam and Eve from the garden. And the only atonement for sin is the shedding of blood. In Romans it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so God has sent his Son into the world to pay for our sin. And for anybody that does not know Jesus, you have two choices. Either you pay for your sin, because nobody else can, or you let Jesus pay for it. Which is why you see Christians wearing crosses, or you see them on churches. That's what that represents. It was the sacrifice of the Son of God. Before you die, you're going to need to make that choice. And don't wait long, because we're not promised tomorrow. Come.